And so, on Sunday, we began to list some of the secrets, or what I call secrets, to flowing with the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, we talked about response of hunger and desire. You must never get to the point where your spiritual hunger begins to dampen. Are you getting me? And many times, Satan knows how to distract you. He can distract you with worries, with cares of this life. Like, you see what I was talking about? I was asking the Lord for money. And the Lord was saying, leave it first. There's something else I want you to see. Are you with me? Leave it. That's not an issue. The money is not an issue. What I'm doing with you is the most important thing. Are you with me? You must not get to the point where your spiritual hunger has waned. In fact, that's one of the signs that you know you need to fast. And if after the fasting, you don't feel stirred towards spiritual things, fast again. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. You will not take these things I'm saying serious until you know the importance of spiritual alignment. Do you know what it is when you are in the move of God? When you are where God wants you to be. When you are aligned to God. Do you know what it is? You can't buy that with money. Are you with me? You can't buy it with money. So the first thing was the response of spiritual hunger and desire. And we talked about that. Peter said, bid me to come. So we said the extent of your hunger determines the extent of your experiences in your journey with the Holy Spirit. But let me show you something. Luke chapter 11 from verse 9. Still on hunger and desire. Luke 11 verse 9. This is Jesus teaching. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, it says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, if you read these two verses, you may just conclude or presume that it's only talking about God meeting your material needs. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You would presume that that's all it's talking about. But if you read more, you will discover that there is a deeper context to what he was saying. Go to verse 13. Then he says in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So, the ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you was more than just asking for bread or butter. It was about a heart extension for the things of the Spirit. Are you with me? So, the asking was not just saying, Lord, I want a car or I want a Benz. I want... It's more than that. On the surface level, that's it. But in the context of what Jesus was trying to emphasize, he's saying that you can actually ask God that you want more. You want to experience more of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? You want to flow more. So that desire that will bring you to ask, to seek. He says, everyone that asketh, receive it. To him that seeketh, findeth. That means if you come to the end of your journey and stand before Jesus and you ask Jesus, why didn't I become this that you wanted me to be? Or why didn't I become this in you? Why didn't I get to this level in my work with God? Jesus will ask you, did you ask? Did you seek? And usually, God will put a desire within you. A time will come where God will be telling you, there is more to you than this. The Lord will begin to open your eyes. to see that there is more. He will begin to stretch you. If you don't have that experience where the Lord is calling you to more, something is not right. Like I'm going to teach next month when we're talking about school of greatness. Even in the school of greatness, God will begin to put desires within you to tell you that there is more in your path. So for instance, maybe, you know, we need to be careful what we call ambition. There are sometimes people say, sometimes we say this person is just ambitious. It may not just be that he's ambitious. It may be that God is trying to, is the one that put that thing inside of him. Are you with me? So you may have this business and you are just selling to 10 customers, 20 customers, and a time just comes where you feel like, no, I want to sell to 100. Are you getting me? That desire within you, God can be the one that is putting it inside. Are you with me? So he wants to bring you to a point where you begin to ask for more. In your spiritual life and in every area of your life, you begin to ask for more. You begin to seek for more. So everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocks, the door will be opened. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. You know, can I shock you? When God called me to start New Breed, I didn't plan. See, let me tell you the honest truth. I didn't see it in my eye, in my mind's eye, that I will preach to more than 50 people. I'm telling you. I just said, God, I just want a small, cozy church, like a small parlor, like a studio. Everybody just sits together in round chairs. Then we come, we study the Bible. When we pray, then after praying and studying the Bible, we share sandwiches and juice. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was my idea of ministry. That would just be like 50 people max. And we just study the Bible, pray, love one another, have this small community of believers. That was what was in my mind, honestly. After 1 year, I started the Lord started showing me stadium. Started showing me endless crowd. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So, the first step is response of spiritual hunger. Say after me, I will be hungry for the things of the Lord. I will fan to flame my desire for the things of God. Sometimes the Lord can be stirring you up and you can intentionally quench it. You are with your friends. You are somewhere. You have a stir to pray. Then you begin to reason, will I leave this interesting gist now? You know that kind of gist that they say, this gist is sweet. This gist, Kai, this gist. Will I leave them now and go and start praying? Or you have planned a weekend getaway. Then on Friday in the morning you wake up. The Holy Ghost says, seek a quiet place. I want you to have a retreat. You're like, not now. Nah. We have already planned the girls' night out. So what is this? Praise the Lord. Hunger. Number two. So, on Sunday, we talked about response of hunger and desire, and we talked about the importance of sounds, right? So, today I will talk about three others. The character of the Spirit. Can you say that to me? The character of the Spirit. Now, if you must flow, or if you will flow with the Spirit of God, you must understand the character of the Spirit. You must be acquainted with the nature of the Spirit. And I must say this clearly, that the first and most important way to be acquainted with the character of the Spirit is to be acquainted with the written word of God. Can you say after me, the written word of God? If you will know the Holy Ghost and flow with the Holy Ghost, you will have to know the written word and flow with the written word. You must have a solid relationship with the Bible. Are you with me? Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He poured his mind into the Bible. He poured his personality into the Bible. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 20. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Everybody, verse 21. Can you read verse 21 with me? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that means the Holy Ghost moved men to put in writing what he was trying to say. Are you with me? So men wrote the Bible, but the Holy Ghost was the author. So it's just like I can be saying something and you are writing it. You are the writer, but I'm the author. Are you getting me? So the Holy Ghost is the author, but men wrote. Are you with me? So everything that is clearly explained in the Bible is the mind of the Holy Ghost on that subject. And when you align yourself with the position of the Bible, you begin to understand the nature of the Spirit. Now, it may still be sounding fuzzy in your mind. What's Pastor talking about? I will explain to you. Listen. See. What I want to explain to you, if you get it, you will increase the weight of the Spirit in your life times 10. There are many people who speak in tongues. But if you check their life, not many of them have the weight of the Spirit. Listen to what I'm saying. So, for instance, the Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Galatians 5:22. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Do you know that? You see those things that he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. If at any point in your life, you allow yourself to have a lifestyle that is contrary to these things, the weight of the Holy Ghost will not be strong. Let me give an example. So, for instance, meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is a more practical term for humility. It means that you are easy to be entreated. It is easy for God to handle you. When a man is meek, he doesn't find it difficult to respond to God. If God is saying, do this, or if he's told what you are doing is wrong, he's not the kind of person that will first of all say, is it me you are talking to like that? Or try to defend himself. He was like, I'm sorry. I was wrong. That meekness is one requirement for you, for the Holy Ghost to be very strong in your life. If you don't have meekness, that small thing, meekness. Oh my God. That thing, meekness, if you don't have it, you will be like Saul. That was the major difference between Saul and David. Like I said, did I talk about this on Sunday? I think I talked about it on Sunday. Or maybe in my mind, I've preached it. They came and told Saul, you sinned. You have sinned against God. Do you know what Saul said? Saul said, I know I have sinned. That's 1 Samuel 15 verse 30. I have sinned, I know. You see what he said after. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. That's a man that lacks meekness. I pray thee. You see a believer, they'll say, sir, you are wrong. This thing you are doing. They will start defending themselves. You see, that thing you are doing, to you, I'm telling them my mind now. Why would they say don't do like this? Why would the usher talk to me? Why would the pastor talk to me like that? That thing you are doing, you are reducing the weight of the Holy Ghost on your life. Are you following this? Years ago, I went to minister in a program. And Kai, Jesus, something happened between the protocol and I think my protocol or something like that. Something happened, and after ministering, I was angry. I was angry. Like, why would they do such a thing? Why would such a thing like this happen? I think there was miscommunication between them and me, or me and them. And I got angry. And I said, I'm not ministering again. Because I was supposed to minister at the second session. And I was going. As I was going, I heard the Lord say, if you go and you don't minister, if you do this thing. He said, if you don't go back there and tell them that you are sorry and minister there, you will see what will happen. Because in my mind, I was right. Are you with me? I was right. Then after struggling with the Holy Ghost for 2 hours before the next session, I'm not good there. I was like, because I had changed it for them. Why would you talk to me like that? You know, you have shown yourself and your brother has carried your bag. Soon has carried your Bible. And I just stormed out. Then I will now go back and say, sir, I was sorry. There was a miscommunication. So I was struggling where I was. Oh, God. Then I agreed. I went. I said, I want to see the coordinator. The coordinator came. They said, oh, we are sorry. I said, no. I'm the one that is sorry now. I'm sorry about the way everything went. Could have handled it better. When I finished, as I finished apologizing, I felt like a garment came from heaven on me. That meeting, they will never forget. It now looked like, oh, that means the secret to the anointing is not just prayer and fasting. It's not just prayer and fasting. You must understand the character of the Spirit. This is why David, it seemed like there was something just about that guy. He fought 66 wars and lost none. When the Holy Ghost is moving you to respond a certain way. See, usually spirits like to possess their vessels with their nature. So for instance, if you have met false prophets, people who are giving into divination, if you check the Bible where the Bible talks about this woman that came to prophesy to Paul and Silas, they went to a certain city. And Paul and Silas came in to preach. And there was this girl that came around and was saying, you people are children, servants of God. You have come to show us the way of salvation. And all of that and all of that. The Bible says she had the spirit of divination. If you check it in the Greek, divination means python. What is there? Python. Now, what does that python represent? Many times, in biblical prophetic language, it's a... How will I say this? That you put, I will not confuse somebody now. I will try. It's a demonic language for sexual immorality. Check most of the false prophets. People who are giving into false prophecy, false divination, they have sexual immorality as their track record. You know why? Because Satan, if you come to him for prosperity, he will make sure that the spirit of that darkness will impose his nature upon you. So if you come to the Holy Ghost and say, okay, Lord, I want salvation, you will receive salvation, but the nature of the Holy Spirit will be imposed on you. That Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. Are you with me? That nature of holiness, it will come on you. That nature of meekness, it will come on you. That nature of gentleness, it will come on you. If you see a Christian that after all the years of being a Christian, we cannot trace gentleness to you. We cannot trace meekness to you. You are difficult to be entreated. You are proud. You the work of the Holy Ghost begin to shrink in your life. Are you with me? Yes, sir. God, I'm looking for the right words to explain it to you. You see, you say you are a believer. You can keep malice with somebody. You just keep it inside. That thing you are doing, you are short-circuiting the anointing because it is contrary to the character of the Spirit. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The next thing I'll talk about is spiritual sensitivity. See after me, spiritual sensitivity. It is the ability to discern what the Holy Spirit is communicating to you in real time. Spiritual sensitivity is the ability to discern what the Holy Spirit is communicating to you in real time. Meaning, you can be here and you can know the Holy Ghost is trying to tell me something. Please, are you with me?
Yes,
I'm sure somebody's saying, Pastor is not shouting like he used to shout before. Today, something is stirring in my spirit. I'm trying my best to be as solemn as possible. Spiritual sensitivity. It's the ability to discern what the Holy Spirit is communicating to you in real time. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 8. Remember what we read. It says, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And Eli perceived. When last did you perceive? Look at Acts chapter 18 verse 5. Acts chapter 18 from verse 5. It says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Paul, pressed in the spirit. Do you know what it means to be pressed in the spirit? It's like somebody pressed you. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So he had a pressing in the spirit and knew that, no, I'm not just going to pass here. I will have to testify of Christ in this place. Your spirit is trained to know what the Holy Ghost is saying by exposure to the Holy Ghost. You know, people say, how do I train my sensitivity? You train your sensitivity by everything a normal Christian should do. If you pray, if you read the Bible, are you with me? And if you stay around God long enough, you'll be able to perceive. For instance, some of you have used your phone so much that even if your phone is 5 meters away and you hear the sound from your phone, you will hear a sound and you know whether it's Facebook, Twitter. Please, can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Have you been away from your phone and you hear the notification from your phone and you knew, okay, it was an alert. It was an SMS. No, it was Twitter. No, this one is Instagram. This one is WhatsApp. You are not with your phone, no. The phone was some meters away. And you could just listen to the notifications and you knew exactly what particular app gave that notification. You know what is happening to you? Your mind has been trained to discern what the phone is saying or what the sound the phone is making because you have stayed with it long enough. If it is difficult for you to perceive what the Holy Ghost is saying, maybe you have not been close enough. Look at Eli. Eli was the prophet who was going to be killed, who was going to be replaced. But because he has been around the things of God long enough, when God was calling Samuel, he was not the one that heard God, though. God did not talk to him at all. But he just said, I perceive God has called this boy. When last did you perceive? As a Christian, you must know how to perceive. You must know when Satan is trying to set me up. This thing, Satan is trying to set me up. You must know when this season is time to pray. You are feeling a certain way within a certain period. I need to fast. I need to pray. It's time. Are you getting me? It is my personal opinion that until Christians are taught again and again, until they master this Holy Ghost, there will be too many things we will be missing. Too many things. Let me show you some verses of the Bible. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 34. I want to answer the question that some people ask. Why do Christians miss it, or why do they find it difficult to be sensitive? Luke 21, verse 34. Now, please, media, do we have NLT? But let's read King James, then we'll switch to NLT. King James says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged." You've seen that word, overcharged. "With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." He's trying to say that the people that things come upon unawares are the ones that who their hearts are overcharged, carried away. That means, according to this verse, God does not expect anything to happen to you by surprise. Nothing should happen in your life and you're like, from where? No. Before anything happens, God expects you should have known. Or at least you should have gotten an idea. Are you with me? You should have gotten a fair idea of what is coming. Now, look at this thing in NLT. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. "Watch out. Don't let your heart be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware." My emphasis here is, don't let your heart be dulled so your heart can be dulled. This is why we fast, though. This is why we fast, because sometimes you can be carried away just eating. Eating, you eat in the morning, eat in the afternoon, eat in the evening, spaghetti and bogolese. You eat chicken, you eat pizza, you eat fried chicken, you eat fried yam. Just, you're just going, you're just eating like this. The Holy Ghost is trying to tell, show you, look. No, you are just going. Give me those names of foods now. Is it seafood, crab, or what? You are just eating seafood okra. You are just going. You go to Wuse to all those. They will bring stick meat like this. You cut, you die. The Holy Ghost is telling you, guy, pray. Pray. Fast. Your heart is not picking anything again. Let me tell you something. If 1 week goes, 1 week, Monday to Sunday, you don't sense anything within you, take a fast. No, you must be sensing things. People who are close to me, if you're not careful, I remember when, you know, Pastor Ernie, Lagos Church, he called me to tell me something. Something about his personal life. He was calling me to tell me. When he called me, I said, "I had a vision about this matter. I saw this thing. I saw this place." Say, "Pastor, you shy. Person no fit even surprise you." I'm not saying I know everything, no, but I had an idea of it. I mentioned 1, 2 details. Say, "Pastor, oh yeah, let me just tell you. Somebody cannot even surprise you again." Now, obviously, I don't see everything. It's not everything about everybody I see. But the one that concerned me and concerned my people. Are you with me? Don't let your house be overcharged. Let me show you another one. Look at Matthew 24, verse 38. So you don't think a pastor is just coming for our wig to drag us. Matthew 24, from verse 38. It says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Have you seen that? Go to the next verse. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away." See, let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll be eating and drinking. Men will be entering things. When God is telling men to enter into spiritual acts, Satan will distract you by eating and drinking. So when the Lord is telling you, it's time to take out some time and be solemn. There's something called solemnity, where you are praying. This kind of prayer, you call it, we are waiting on the Lord. You are not praying for anything. You are praying to get what God is trying to say. You put away your phone. So you know, Satan has done us bad things generational. Some people are speaking in tongues. Are they come? You are chatting and you are manta kabbalah. Even in the solemnity, you are not solemn. That kind of prayer where you are trying to get your heart recalibrated. That was what I was trying to do this morning in engaging God. Lord, align my heart. Because some people, they don't know how to stay on one thing. Just, okay, after the next thing, what's the next point? What's the next point? What's the next thing? And God wants to slow you down and say, see what I'm showing you. Are you with me? Your life has been in a certain way for a long time. And God is trying to get your attention. See. I have been in many situations where I was trying to talk to somebody about something and the Lord, you know, something happened some days ago. We were trying to attend to an issue. And the Lord said to me, he said, some people don't know that my divine opportunities come in unassuming ways. God, oh my God. Just imagine. Imagine David was being told that as you are going to deliver this food to your brothers in the battlefield, your destiny begins. You'll be like, come now. What kind of prophecy is that? What consigned my destiny with sandwich or food I'm going to deliver? That morning, David would have woken up like a normal person, brushed his teeth, took his bath. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Gone out like a normal day, tended to the sheep. Okay, David, come. Your brothers are at the valley of Elah. Go and deliver food to them. Okay, yes, Papa. Once I'm done, when you come back, clean this house. It would have looked like a normal day. No voice from heaven would have come out and said, my son David, this is that day. The day for which Samuel anointed you has arrived. Arise, get down to the valley of Elah. And I will show you what I must do. No, it was like a normal day. Sometimes you can just meet a group of people. To you, it is a normal thing. I was just invited. I just got there. God, in God's mind, I have orchestrated your destiny. That's what you need. But sometimes people can be dull in the spirit. They don't see. They don't see. It's after me in the name of Jesus. My eyes are open to see. My ears are open to hear. My heart is open to respond. Amen. Now you can say, oh, but David did not particularly hear a voice telling him to do anything. Let me tell you something. If you have been staying aligned with God, a time will come. There is a kind of leading of God you respond to, not because God said anything, but because you are unconsciously competent. You don't even know. You are so aligned that you are already controlled by God. What you call coincidence is God's orchestration. There's a level where, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? God will say, my son, go and do this. Okay, you go and do it. Lord, what do you want me to do? My son, go and do this. You go and do it. A time now comes, you don't even ask God what you want to do. On his own, he knows that you are too connected. He can control you.
Yes,
spiritual sensitivity. When you notice a sudden switch in your emotions, what do? You go to a place, they're offering you a job. As you're excited, they're excited. All of a sudden, you just lose your peace. Or it's as if you are not finding it difficult to be excited about the matter. You are a lady, you like a guy, you love the guy. The day the guy brought the ring, as he just brought the ring, you cannot explain. Instead of saying, oh my God! You're like, you saw it and you were gripped by fear. Ha! Auntie, what else do you need? Let me talk like the book of Hebrews. What more shall we say then? Shall we talk about Barak? And Gideon, what more shall we? You fear grips you. You say, oh, wow, you are trying to be excited. Are you serious? Is it me? I remember going to work for a company
not too long after my youth service. Got in. Now, the funny thing is, that company, God led me to the company before my youth service. And it was a great time working there. Now, I had another opportunity to work in another arm of their firm. Only for them to give me contract papers. As I saw the contract paper like this, something just began to disturb me. Ah! Something dropped within me. I was like, and guess what? That time I was broken. First, no, broke is a good. I was broken. You know, when you say somebody's broke, it means he still has at least 1K, 2K, 5K. When he's broken, he's owing MTN. He's owing. My God. I'm like, I'm an engineer. Let me just get this job. Let me just do this job. And it was like that. I was broken. But I could feel the Lord saying, don't take it. I had no other option. Well, now I know I had another option. The option was to obey God. But then I was saying I have no other option and I took it. Ah, the 5 months I worked there, I regret. Chai. You don't want to hear story. But see, the next 10 years of a man's life can be summarized in one nudge. Amen. Finally for today, do you want to flow better with the Holy Ghost? You must embrace the law of sacrifice. The law of sacrifice. Jesus. I'm going to show you a prophetic verse. Two of them. Psalm 118 from verse 27. Psalm 118 verse 27. Read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. I feel like an interaction right now. What do you think this verse can imply? We don't have time for that, but let me tell you something. Some years ago, my mom called me and said, I've attended some of your services. Why don't you tell your people to give so much? You don't really hammer it. I said, we don't want to sound like we are so money conscious. You know, we are just here to preach Jesus. She said, Let me tell you something. She said, I want to tell you something. If you really want to help your people, teach them how to sacrifice Elio. Is it not because you may not even need the money? Say, but they need the training. But they need the training. He says, God is the Lord which has showed us light. I bind the sacrifice with cords. Meaning, according to this verse, there is a prophetic pattern here that anytime God exposes a greater dimension of light to you, the first thing to begin to do is you must put a sacrifice first. That's why if you study the Old Testament, all those patriarchs, when they go to a new city, first thing they raise an altar. They raise an altar, put sacrifice on top. It was as though they knew consciously that if God exposes a new dimension to you, there is the covenant protocol of sacrifice. And I'm not just talking about sacrifice of money and seed. I'm talking about sacrifice should be written all over you. So, even fasting is a kind of sacrifice. Are you with me? Prayer is a kind of sacrifice. A time should come when it is not convenient, but you are doing it. Look at Abraham. God said, I will make the father of many nations. I will do this, I will do that. A time now came. He says, Abraham, give me thy only son, whom thou lovest. After Abraham sacrificed, God now said, now I know. It's as though if you don't pass the test of sacrifice, God is not sure about some things he even promised to you. Mm.
When God wants to promote people, he will call for sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. Let me tell you something. Even in the dark kingdom, it's the same. It's the same. You see the type of Christianity we are talking about? Don't force people to... Of course, we will not force people to give. The Bible says, give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. But if we are going to raise solid believers, you must learn the way of sacrifice. There are some things we must balance. So we must balance the fact that, you know, even in this subject of, you know, they'll be talking about music ministers, should they charge, should they not charge? Let me tell you the truth. Usually, God will start out your journey with sacrifice. God will make sure that you will go to places, you will minister, and they will not give you anything. Are you with me? It's part of your training. Then a day will now come. You will go a place, you go to somewhere, you just sing for 5 minutes and they'll give you 10 million. And somebody else will say, what did he do? No, you are not seeing his track record of sacrifice. Are you getting me? There are some people, whether they charge or not, if they go to a place, even if the people say we don't want to give you anything, somebody will just stand up and say, me, God said I should give you this. Are you with me? If we are not careful, we are going to raise believers who think of themselves alone and don't know how to sacrifice. They don't know. It says, God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. From time to time, there must be sacrifices in your joy. If you are going to walk with the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost is going to, his power will be strong in your life, there will be sacrifices. And when sacrifices are done, it increases rank, it increases dominion, it increases authority. Sometimes, can I shock you? Even staying away from temptation is sacrifice. You are like God, this thing. By the time you find a way, you turn away from that thing. The Bible says that there is a crown of life that God will give to everyone that resists temptation. Are you with me? You know, something happened. When I was in the oil field, walking, and then God told me to resign. I resigned and started ministry. The first program I went to minister after I resigned, it was as though because of that singular act of obeying God, the power on my life increased. What happened? I went to Lekki to preach, where they had this believers get together, Lekki believers, something I've forgotten. So after the teaching, I just had this nudge. I said everybody should come out. I'm supposed to lay hands on everybody. I was not trying to do a healing service. So prayed for each person. By the time I was done, a lady just said, I have a testimony. Because I saw the way she ran out and came back. Said, I have a testimony. I said, okay, what's... She said, actually, I have been bleeding for the past 3 months. Immediately you touched me, I felt like something entered into me and dried up that thing. So I went to check. The bleeding had stopped. So I was like, funny enough, that meeting, you know when you were so stressed before a program? At that day, Lekki was flooded. I went for that meeting in the rain and in the flood. My plan was I would go early to pray. Man, I went to park and I watered the park. So I couldn't pray the way I wanted to pray. But the power of God was so strong. I felt the Lord telling me, because of the sacrifice you made, you have received promotion. Let me show you another one. Psalm 50 verse 5. It says, gather my sins together unto me. Then he says, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So he says, gather my sins. Then he says, wait, let's separate them. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrifice. One more text for today. Genesis 15 verse 7. Genesis 15 verse 7. And he said unto him, so God was saying unto Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of all of the Chaldees. Every time I read my Bible and see that place, you arrow, or I say, what kind of place is called or? Those names, you know, some names that are weird like that. What kind of name is that? Is it Uyu or Or? What kind of name is that? How were they even pronouncing it in those days? I am the Lord that brought thee out of all of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Are you seeing this? This is a good place to say, oh, Father, thank you. You have brought me out of the land of the Chaldees, and I'm going to inherit this land. Father, I give you praise. Lord, I thank you. But Abraham knew something else. Look at what he asked God in verse 8. He says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So, okay, Lord, I know I will inherit. You have promised me I will inherit it. How am I sure that I will inherit it? See the next response. Verse 9. And God said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, sacrifice. Take me an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Hey, God. Look at what is going on here. Verse 10. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided not. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of darkness fell upon him. Verse 13. And he said unto him, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. That means, if Abraham did not put that sacrifice down, he wouldn't have gotten the details of the promise. Many people are, Lord, this is your promise. Also ask God, how will I know that this promise will come to pass? He will not tell you some other sacrifices to make. A man of God once said something. He said, if God says something to you, and you don't take that time to fast and pray over that thing, you will never see it. When he said it, I was like, ah. But I listened to what he was saying. It is very true. If you hear a prophetic word and you don't intentionally fast and pray about it, you will never see it. You'll be waiting. You'll be waiting. You'll be waiting, because how shall I know that I will inherit it? So you have to go into the spirit and find out what is the code of sacrifice. Hey, Jesus. That's why I said, when I was saying this on Sunday, these things I'm sharing are secrets. There was a time, listen to the story I want to share. There was a time I were praying to God. I was asking God, Lord, increase our, then in Port Harcourt Church, increase resources. Lord, we need more resources to get some things done. Then one day, a pastor friend of mine came to see me. And he said they had a program. And they needed equipment for the program. So I said, okay, can we lend them, or can they borrow some equipment from us? Some speakers and mixer, amplifier, microphone, this one, that one. So we gave it to him. As he was going, the Lord said, and he shall never return it. I said, eh? I said, God, you said what? He said, he will not return it again. Ah! So I called my guy and told them, you see those things we just give out now to the Lord said they will not return it again. As I just told them, they say, Pastor, now, Pastor, these things are not even enough. It's not even enough. You are not telling us we will not return it. What is it? It was not up to 2 months after that. The kind of favor that began to hit that church. We bought things that if you multiply it times 10, it's not up to what we now. Are you with me? Sacrifice. Lord, what are you asking me to do? Some of you, God has been telling you this year, go and increase your prayer time. God has been telling you this year, the second half of this year, from July to December, make sure every week you fast 2 times. Are you with me? That is sacrifice. God, we have been telling you, give this. Dude, are you with me? Jump on your feet. So today we talked about response of hunger and desire. We talked about the character of the spirit. We talked about spiritual sensitivity. We talked about sacrifice. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. From this moment, I cannot hear your voices. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. From this moment, I receive strength to flow with the Spirit, to flow with the Holy Ghost. Lord, in my life, let fresh fire burn. Let there be a freshness of your Spirit. From this moment, oh God, let there be a freshness of your Spirit. Let me mount up with wings as an eagle. Let me fly where the eagles fly. Let me do business with you in the deep waters. Can you pray right now?